All right, welcome to The Isolationist. Number one, how awesome is that? I have theme music. I know it's probably been put on all the podcasts before this now, but I have to thank the dude named Chris. He goes by the Apothecary's Assistant on all social media platforms. He's a Satanist, and he's lovely. There's a lot of strange people you meet in the world, and he happens to be a really good dude. That I was on him and his friend Caleb, who's a comic. I was on his podcast, and him and I got to talk. He grew up evangelical, which is a half step away from Satanism to begin with, of cultiness. All right, so let's get back into it. I want to urge people to do something that I've been doing, which is experimenting with absurdity in their life. So what this means is doing something that's so socially unacceptable, but not in like a macabre way, not like fucking a kid or like, you know, fingering yourself in public, just doing something absurd. Now there's this group that was doing stuff that I forgot the name of them because I'm shitty with names and I'm just shitty as a person in general. But they would do stuff like they would dress up as salmon and run the wrong way in marathons. So I've been experimenting with this, but with vulgarity. So this, I was at a gas station, and so this woman came up to me, and she was like, hey, sorry, I always burp on this, I'm trying to stop, but Jesus Christ, just call me the Jinx. So I was at a gas station, and I still have New Jersey plates, even though I live in Vermont, and this woman came up, and she was like, hey, let me take care of that. I was at the gas station, and I was like, don't worry, I'm from New Jersey, but I've lived here long enough, I know how to pump my own gas, thank you very much. And she was like, well, let me just... So I spit in her mouth, which I don't feel, her mouth was open, and she was taunting me. She was getting aggressive with me, in my mind. So my natural reaction was to spit in her mouth. But then she did something deplorable, which is she took my spit, and she spat it back in my mouth. Because my mouth was open, I guess. I don't know. There was a lot on my face. There was something that was in my beard that got frozen. But I was horrified by the fact that she would spit my own spit back into my mouth. Because she's wrong in this situation. Now, number one, when I'm spitting at her, I'm expressing disdain. I'm explaining to her that she has already pushed me to my wit's end. I've explained to her that I know how to pump gas, and she's not listening to me, therefore I spit in her mouth, right? That's a perfect, logical, makes perfect sense to do. From point A to point B, that makes sense. Now, where it doesn't make sense is when she spits my own spit back into my spit. See, that's when it gets weird for me, because what is she trying to communicate to me? Because communication, on its own, everyone's at a different level, right? So I looked at her, and with my spit that had been in her spit, back in my spit, I looked at her and I asked her, I said, well, what are you doing, you psychopath? And she looked at me like I was the one that's wrong. And I was like, I'm expressing disdain. What are you expressing? And she was like, what are you talking about? You just spit in my mouth, you psychopath. And I tried to calmly explain to her that she was actually the psychopath, that she was the one acting without regard for anything, because, her spitting my spit back into my spit, it doesn't mean anything. Like, what is she saying? I don't like that you spit in my mouth, so I'm gonna spit in your mouth? Well, then you're a fucking hypocrite, lady. Like, you gotta think about how you present your argument, because you can't express to me that you don't like getting your mouth spit in by spitting in my mouth. Like, do you see? Hold on. Someone's honking at me for nothing. That's not even me. They're honking at the bus in front of me. Just to let you know, I was completely sober during all of this, because people wonder how much time I actually spent sober, which is most of my life I spent sober. So I call this woman a psychopath. She calls me a psychopath. And then And calmly try and explain to her my thoughts on the subject, which is, what I just explained to you guys, which is you can't express that you don't like getting spit in your mouth by spitting in my mouth unless you tell me something like, hey, how do you like that? And then put me into your, you know, into your context of life. You know, put me into how you experienced this. So I asked her if that's what she was doing, and she said, no, I just, you spit in my mouth, so I spit it in your face. And I said, oh, so you acted without any thought behind it whatsoever. And she was like, yeah, why, did you think about this? And I was like, yes. You know, I thought pretty in depth about it before I did it. I was thinking like, hey, I've explained to this woman, you know, and this is all I'm saying this to her. I've explained to you that I know how to pump my own gas. I don't know you. You're a stranger to me. You're being rather insulting by insinuating that I can't do a simple thing like pump gas. I mean, there's instructions right there. And even after I explained to you that I know how to do this, you violated my boundaries by continuing on. Therefore, I feel like I was within my rights to spit directly between your teeth and onto your tongue. Now, it wasn't like I hawked a loogie. It was just kind of like, it was just a, you know, it was just a ball of spit. It's not like I warmed up first. Like, this wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like I was telegraphing my haymaker that was coming in. It wasn't like a Superman puncher in the neck where you can see it coming from a mile away. I just did a very simple, I did a very humane, and I think civilized spit in the mouth. And I think she took it out of context and she didn't understand at all what I was doing or at all what I was trying to explain to her. And it's like, well, what am I going to do then? I've already used all of my words. The only thing I can do is spit in your mouth. Because anything else is like a heinous fucking crime now in the world that we live in. So if I just spit in her mouth, it's like, you know, okay, my DNA is in her mouth, but it's not like my dick DNA or anything. It's not like she'd say I raped her or anything. And I don't actually think that it's legally. Maybe I should ask. Maybe I should ask Mr. Acosta that. I'm going to have a guest on the show. This leads me to this one thing. I'm going to have a guest on the show. I realize I've had a lawyer for quite some years, who, you know, I went to school with him. So to me, it's just like him and I are on the same wavelength and everything. I realize that he's actually a pretty interesting character, so I think I'm going to have him on the podcast. Turns out the 11-year-old boy that I was trying to do it is really nervous about it. Which I think would go away if he just got some pussy, you know? If he were to, if that 11-year-old boy were to just get up in something, he'd have the balls to go on a podcast, right? Why is it that I always burp only when I'm recording? Only when I'm recording this podcast do I burp like this, guys. But yeah, so I spit in this woman's mouth. She spits my spit back into my spit. And I'm really offended by it. And I explain it. And she, again, she looks at me and she says that you must be fucking insane. And I was like, oh, I'm insane? You're the one that just spit my spit back into my spit. Maybe you're the crazy one, lady. You ever consider that? And she was just like, no. And I was like, this is the breakdown. This is the whole, this is an allegory or a metaphor for the entire political climate. Now, I know that you're a white female, so you probably voted for Trump. I, however, voted for Jeb because I make good decisions. But I was like, you know, I wasn't trying to make this a thing when I spit in her mouth, you know? I wasn't trying to make a big deal out of it. I was just trying to express a simple thought when I spat directly in her mouth. And there was just like a little bit of spit dripping off her front tooth while she sat there in shock. And it's not like I said, you know, if I were to spit on her face or something, you know, I can see there being a problem spitting on someone's face. That's disrespectful. But spitting in someone's mouth, it's just, I don't know, it's just trying to explain something basic to someone who's clearly not getting it. I don't know, what do you guys think? Am I wrong in this situation? Because I don't think I'm wrong in this situation. So, what I started off talking about was experiments in absurdity. So, what you should do now is, what I want everyone to do, is this story aside, is practice doing something fucking crazy. For shits and giggles, like, there doesn't have to be a point behind it. Drop a ridiculous sum of money on it if you have to. Just be irresponsible is how I'm trying to place this and put this. Is you need to be, people need to learn to be irresponsible. Because people are irresponsible about stupid things. People want Gucci belts. They want, like, really nice fucking cars. They want to make investments in things that seem shallow and mundane. In my mind, shallow and mundane. While instead, you could go and buy a Slenderman costume and stand outside of elementary schools, you know? Like I do. You know, which one of those things is more entertaining to do? You know, have a really nice car or get like a really, really good Slenderman costume and scare strangers. I mean, first of all, you're breaking a good practice in absurdity should break other people out of their normal routines. It should be one of those things that happens to people that's so ridiculous that their fight or flight kicks in. You know? So get ready, I've been punched in the face a lot. You know, I've been punched by some pretty big people, so, you know, it didn't really do that much to me. So I'm saying if you get punched in the face, just get punched in the face. Now, I'm not saying go to Compton and do this. I'm saying do this in a relatively, in a safer area where other people will think, that this ridiculous thing that's going on, where they'll laugh at it too. But try it. It's, you know, I don't know. I guess some people call that playing pranks. I don't know. I don't think it's playing a prank. I'm going to call it an experiment in absurdity because I like the way that sounds better. And I'm going to try and... So for the past, like, 10 podcasts, I haven't really spoken the way I'm capable of. Like, you know, the other day, I told someone that they were retarded. And they said, you can't say that word. And I was like, what are you talking about? And they said, well, you can't say retarded anymore. And I was like, what do you mean I can't say retarded? And they're like, well, it's really bad. You know, it's one of those things that makes retarded people feel bad. And I went, oh, you're talking about, like, the mental thing. Like, you're talking about the learning disability. And he was like, yeah. And I was like, well, even before that, you know, that word has a history. Calling people retarded is rather new to it. Retardation... it's actually a word just like that kind of means like, you know, you're set back from where you should be, you know, like you should be at point A, but you should be at point B, but you're still at point A, essentially. So I'm finding that I offend people all the time. So I've dumbed down my language for a really long time. However, I do believe that maybe on this podcast and ones following, I may elevate my vocabulary to the way in which I speak when I am in my own domicile, you know? But yeah, so go and try something completely absurd. I'm trying to think of things that I could give you guys that are simple and easy to do. One of my first experiments in this was... a thing that's ridiculous is abundance. So abundance is a strange thing. I have too much of something. Like, that on its own is kind of like one of those things where it's not that crazy until you replace the item with something that is out of the ordinary as well. So doing things like getting in an absurdly large... You guys, try this. It doesn't cost that much. Get a really, really, really big bowl. Or if you want to be even more absurd, something that normally you don't hold food in. Like a trash can. A fish bowl. Extra points if you find a way to keep the fish inside. And what is it? Jell-O's like $1 a pack. Make 10 things of Jell-O. Like 10 packets of it. Several pots worth of Jell-O, freeze it, and then put it in a garbage can. And then try either, like, selling it in the street for a dollar, just going up to people and asking them if they would like to buy a trash can full of pudding. Or, on a much simpler note, just bring it over to your neighbors and act like what you did isn't ridiculous at all. That's the thing that makes, like, really sell it, don't laugh. And when people act like you're the one that's crazy, act like they're the one that's crazy. So, like, before you do stuff, like, you know, think about it a little bit. Think about what this person may or may not say when they receive a garbage can full of pudding. You know? Like, wonder what those... And yes, some time goes into that. That is going to take a couple hours of your life. But you'll find that if you stop being a consumer of television, or a frequent consumer of television, you'll find that your day is freed up quite a bit, you know? And you'll have time to devote towards being bored and being absurd. That's something that's really important, is being bored is something that we have lost the ability to do. When I was younger, I did not have many friends, clearly. So I was bored a lot. And that's where, you know, during that time of me being bored, that's where I worked out problems in my own head. I developed personality. I developed a large sum of perversion during time being left alone in my youth, you know? Ha ha! I'm talking about jerking off to stuff. Ha ha! Woo! Jerking off! Ha ha! Buy my book. Dude, bro, the how-to college guide your parents don't want you to have. You know, if you take a couple hours that you would spend watching TV and devote it towards planning something absurd, whether you do it or not, it's a lot of fun. And when you do it, sell it. You know, really sell it. Like, I just chose a really simple one. Large sum of pudding in something that you don't normally contain pudding in. Like, pudding is traditionally in what? Bowls, cups, mugs, even if you like, several different things like that. You know, find something out of the ordinary to put it in. You know, get like a paint can, like a clean. If you can find like a cleaned out paint can, and offer them a paint can full of pudding. It has a really good alliteration to it as well, which is something that I'm quite fond of in life, because that sticks in people's heads, and. For the rest of your life, like, you know, I'll never acknowledge it again when I do something absurd. Like, act like you completely didn't do it. If anyone ever brings it up, be like, what are you talking about? That wasn't me. Or, yeah, no, I never did that. And then if there's anyone else around, tell them that you never did that, that sounds completely absurd. And what that does is, you know, it keeps it as a moment between you and that person. And later on, if it's just you and that person, just be like, I totally did that. I totally did that. And then don't tell them your reasoning. Don't tell them anything else about it, really. Just let that be a moment standing in time in which you broke them out of their day-to-day routines in an effort to make the world a slightly better place. But yeah, that was ridiculous. That woman got pissed off that I spat in her mouth. I mean, I fucked a cop on the side of the road, what, like 4 podcasts ago? And like, that wasn't a big deal. So you'd think spitting in someone's mouth they'd just be fine with. I don't know. I think I'm gonna start giving free haircuts to people that don't want them. Right? Like, just give a free haircut to someone. Just, hey, we're a surprise free haircut. That's it, surprise free haircuts. You know, just walk up and someone sitting in a restaurant, just cut the man bun off. And then have like a big poster that says free surprise haircuts. Yay. You know? I think I'm gonna do that. I think that's next. I'm really excited about the lawyer coming on the podcast. Because he is going to explain he's a man of He's a man who is a parody of himself, you know? He's a very strange, strange guy. And he's got, I think it's going to be the next podcast, him and I will figure it out and figure out a way in which he and I can communicate and record it for you valuable and endearing listeners that I'm so thankful for having. But yeah, him and I are going to talk about a lot of fun, ridiculous stuff that we can do. He's a master of finding ways of doing stuff through, you know, he's a man who finds loopholes in everything, such as myself, in rules, and, you know, he's, I don't know, I'm just really excited to have him on. That'll be, that. I'm also, I'm not gonna lie, I'm excited to speak to pretty much anyone who's somewhat off-kilter, you know? I've been trying to get a Nazi for, like, ever. I can't get a Nazi. I went on Gab, and I've been exploring, and then I just found another guy I went to college with, became a Nazi, and, I'm thinking I might get him on, for this, so that he and I can, I wonder if I can get him to talk about being a Nazi, and mix it with the normalcy of his and I's previous, prior to being a Nazi relationship, you know, and that even that's not normal, because before that he was, I don't know, he and I did some pagan ritual when his friend died, and we had to go out into the woods. Maybe I'll just purposely try and piss him off. I don't know what I'm gonna do, but these are the things that I think about, and I feel like this one I'm trying to let you into my mind a little bit. I'm also realizing that sort of reality on its own is something that you have to make for yourself. What brings about this realization is there's a whole thing about fake news now, right? Like, that's everywhere, is fake news. This is fake. This is, you can't believe that. Facebook is sharing fake news. Everything is fake. I realize that we've come to a point where there's too much information, there's falsified information, there's, reality on its own has become so subjective now that you can build your own world, and there's no complete truth, which is petrifying to me. As a realization that there is no such thing as the truth. And this is sort of part of my logic behind it. Now, I've explained the larger scope of fake news, and, you know, you don't know if that happens, and then there's never a perfect judge, so, you know, Facebook may flag something as fake news, but it's not fake news. So here's my conundrum in life. And this is part of the reason why I have difficulty in relating to other people as well. Is I don't have enough information with other people. See, I walk around in my bubble, all right? So imagine you and I, we both kind of have our bubbles. And some people call them echo chambers, which is you're just looking for people who repeat the things that you already believe. No, that's not what I'm speaking about in this. You have a bubble, and this bubble consists of the context of, let's say, the past 30 years of your life. Now, in that, in your junk DNA, you know, of your previous ancestors, you have some of their predispositions towards, I don't know, a heart attack, a stroke, diabetes, whatever, mixed with pertinent memories from your life. So, the outliers in the data set, which is your life. So, you have, let's say there's a bell curve to every human's life, and there are these little... There are these little, along that line, there are these little data points, memories and things that you hold dear to you, like that are ingrained within you. And let's say you don't do the memory exercises that I do. However, these are outliers. These are things that you may not necessarily wake up remembering and be pissed off about, but they're things that have affected you as a human being. So let's say your uncle didn't molest you when you wanted him to molest you. You're really coming on to your uncle hard, and your uncle didn't want to fuck you, so it made you feel bad about yourself as a person, and it made you question your own self-worth, and it made you question your value to society, and so for the rest of your life, you in this situation, you're putting yourself into the perspective of someone who came onto their uncle and was denied by their uncle, you know? So for the rest of your life, you have low confidence. Now, let's say I, on the other hand, I came on to my uncle, and he willingly and voluntarily had sex with me, and it was endearing and it was loving. So now I'm walking around with the knowledge that I can seduce my uncle, you know? Like my confidence is higher than yours because I had a different experience. Or let's say something, you know, completely out of the norm. Let's say when I was younger, I stepped out into public with a cum rag that was stuck to me. And people discovered that I have a cum rag stuck to my leg, you know? So in that situation, I may have a higher confidence level than other people, because I got to show off to all my friends the amount of semen that I store in me over a few day, you know, a several day period before I wash my cum rag. They get to, you know, they get to see how virile I am as a human being. So let's say, so I have this huge amount of confidence from the time that I had a cum rag stuck to my leg. And you have low self-confidence, low self-worth, and question every one of your actions because you came on to your uncle and he denied you. So we both have these bubbles. And, you know, there's other stuff in these bubbles, but for the sake of this argument, I need you to put yourself in that place right now. I'll give you a second. All right. So now you have this bubble and I have this bubble, and let's say both of us are standing in a park, and a hot dog vendor comes up, and a hot dog vendor looks at you and looks at me and says, what are you, a bunch of queers? And then he pelts us with hot dogs. Let's say he pelts us with hot dogs. And as we're scurrying away together, we get to some back alleyway or somewhere that's safe from the hot dog vendor. Now me, with my high confidence level, I may say, like, oh, he called me queer. Well, that just means he thinks I'm progressive in society, you know? He thinks that I'm on the forefront of what society is becoming. And he says, you know, queer, oh, there's a lot of queer people that are coming out as queer. And then he starts calling me, you know, the correct pronouns of Z or G or Z, they, you know, because he can't assume my gender. So I naturally take being pelted with hot dogs and being called the queer. I take it as a compliment because, you know, I had something that was wonderful happen to me, you know, in the past. But I already forgot what it was that was great that happened to me besides I was able to sleep with my uncle. I will just be upfront with that. So I will avoid trying to say what it is that happened to me that made me feel great because I've already forgotten that. So you, being the negative Nancy you are because of your fear of rejection, because this was your very first rejection, your lack of self-confidence, you could take it as, oh my God, he knows I'm queer. Am I that apparent? Am I that see-through? Am I not as in-depth of a character as I once thought? Am I that readable? You could be thinking, like, oh, do I look poor? Is that why he gave me free hot dogs and I wasn't good enough to catch them? You know? So, and then you have the entire bubble that is, you know, the guy who pelted us with hot dogs and what he's gone through and what his actual intention was. So you see, the reality of the moment is different for all three of us in this situation. You see, you have you, who we've all experienced the same thing. Objectively, what we can say, but this is not true. Because there's larger pictures. If we want to boil it down, we can say objectively, a hot dog cart guy threw hot dogs at two people. That's as far as we could go, and that's still not even true. Because that's not how someone's going to report this to other people. That's not how we perceived what actually happened. So although that is what happened, that is not what happened at all in this situation. Because to me, I would say, oh, a kindly small business owner saw that I was doing quite well for myself and wanted to reward me for all my hard work and progressiveness, and he dispensed in a strange way. He dispensed some hot dogs to me, and while you say, oh, he committed a hate crime against me. He called me a queer, and then he hit me with sausage tubes or tubes of pig parts. So this was a hate crime. And then you just have, you have the hot dog cart guy who was like, well, I stole this hot dog cart from a guy who left to use the bathroom. And like, what else am I going to do with this? I didn't think through my crime, you know? So there's three different, and I think that's difficult to grasp for a lot of people. And I think that the world that we've gotten into, there's both too much information and not enough information at once, you know? Like, there are people where their focus is on the wrong things. Their focus is on shit that doesn't make sense, you know? And they're not doing it for the sake of being absurd. So I'm having a difficult time with the fact that there are so many realities. And this is, brings me to something even weirder. Like, everyone knows the multiverse theory now, right? So there's an unlimited amount of universes at all times. When one universe is created, another billion. Somewhere, the whole thought process is there's a universe somewhere where your uncle didn't turn you down, and you're confident, you know? There's a universe where myself as a human being, am horribly unfunny, and I am nowhere on the autism scale whatsoever. there's a universe in which I am actually 17 monkeys in a trench coat. There's a universe where I am a sentient roadside cone that gets hit by a Saab that's being driven by some sort of lizard and or praying mantis that has a higher social standing than I in the world, you know? Like, that's the multiverse theory. But, you can also break that down and say that even within the universe in which I'm functioning and you're functioning, there's multiple universes in it. There's multiple universes in it within even our own interactions, you know? Which then, in my mind, the wormhole between them becomes our communication. So then, you who got hate crimed by being called a queer and being pelted by, pig hooves stuffed in questionable wraps that are supposed to be intestines but aren't, you know? Like, that's your universe, and then I have my own little universe, and then so the wormholes between our universes is just, us speaking to one another, you know? So it's difficult when you start seeing the world the way that I do and understanding that every single little interaction is of vital importance, because if it is not done perfectly, then you're a detriment to to an entire universe, while someone else who's careless, which most people are careless, we don't put the value on other human beings to understand that this is a life you are affecting with every single communication. So it's when you start thinking about this, it's easier to become an isolated, self-sufficient person, because then you become the god in your own universe. And I think that's what everyone is really out to do. Maybe perhaps that's even the meaning of life, is to be the god in your own universe. To be... See, they are, people always say to be the hero in your own story, and I don't believe that. You shouldn't be the hero in your own story, because that means adverse things happen to you. When what you should do is strive to be able to manipulate the world in a way in which it functions the way that you like it, you know? And that's really what wars are fought over. But for me, you know, instead of, you know, exercising political power and influencing people and making them think the way I do, I instead ran away into the mountains of Vermont and allowed myself to go crazy, is what I did. That way, I could be the master of my own universe. You know? And again, I'm completely sober, because I realize that these topics, maybe not the easiest for everyone to comprehend or follow along with, but, you know, I'm just trying, you know, I'm just trying here. So, we did it. Go out, make a large sum of pudding, hand it to your neighbor, spitting in people's mouths, not a bad thing, or at least in my mind. And there's no such thing as an ultimate truth, huh?